This morning I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. This will be our text passage that we'll be looking at. And once we turn there, I'd like to read verses 11 through 16. And then we're going to hone down to verse 16, which is where we're going to spend most of our time here today. Hebrews chapter 4. Beginning verse 11 we read, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, a rest that was promised by God and demonstrated by God, even at the very creation of this world. On the seventh day, He rested." And that indicates to us that there is a time of rest for the people of God, and ultimately that rest will be in heaven with God. And so the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." This is a call to vigilance in our relationship with God. And then he says how this is done. "For the word of God," verse 12, "is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Then in conclusion, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, who is Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And then our text for this morning, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Have you ever experienced a time when all you could say is, "What am I going to do?" We've all probably faced this. Stephen's just coming off of finals week, and I would imagine sometime during the semester, correct me if I'm wrong, you said, "What am I going to do? I've got all these papers, and I've got all these finals, and I've got all these projects, and I've got all these things that I have to do, and I don't have enough time to do it all. What am I going to do?" Perhaps at work you've been faced with quotas, or you've been faced with deadlines, and you wonder as those deadlines rapidly approach, "What am I going to do?" I remember in the banking industry at about December 1st, our manager would get out a chart with a little thermometer, you've probably seen those, and he said, "This is the goal that we're supposed to be at the very end of the year, and this is where we're at after 11 months of the year, and this is how far we've got to go." Now, I don't know why they didn't do that at the beginning of the year, all right? And they always come down to the crunch time in the last 30 days of the year when everybody's spending money and they want you to get their money for other projects and other products. And I remember thinking with all my other colleagues, "What are we going to do? How are we going to reach those goals and those quotas?" Maybe at home you've had a decision that you've recently need to make, or perhaps there's a relationship within your family that needs to be mended, and you've stepped back and you've thought, "Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this?" Most of the time in life there's consequences to our decisions. Sometimes there's sin that's been affecting us, and we wonder, "Lord, what am I going to do?" One of the most wonderful blessings as a Christian, as a child of God, is that whenever there is that time, when you and I wonder that question, "What am I going to do?" you can be casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's what the Lord says in 1 Peter 5:7. Many times we wonder, "What are we going to do in this situation, or in this problem, or with this decision?" The Lord says, "Cast all your care upon Me, because I do care for you." Even those seemingly small things, those seemingly insignificant things that we think are too problematic to bring into the presence of God, God says, "Cast those cares upon Me," and that is one of the biggest blessings that we can have. Why? Why is it even possible that God should care about your needs and your problems and the issues that you face in your life? Why? It's because, as we've learned here in our text this morning, that God is a God of grace. God is a God of grace. In fact, in 1 Peter 5:10, it says that He is the God of all grace. Any good thing that you need from the hand of God will be delivered by Him on account of His goodness and His grace. This morning, I want us to look at the grace that He offers to every one of His children. Every one of you, if you come to God on His terms through His Son Jesus Christ, and you're not relying upon your own works and your own merit, God has an abundant treasury supply of grace for you and for me. Over the last several weeks, we've heard all the things that are going on in the United States economy. And one of the first things that our government decided to do was throw more money at it, right? Billions upon billions, even trillions of dollars. $1 trillion amount is something that is hard for us to get our mind around. It's an enormous amount of money. The other day, I was hearing all these $1 trillion, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, $4 trillion, $5 trillion, this might be all the bailout, I thought, well, what is $1 trillion to me? What is $1 trillion to you? So I got out my trusty calculator, and I realized that I don't have enough space on this calculator for $1 trillion, okay? So then I went to my computer's calculator, which had plenty of room, and I typed in $1 trillion. At first, I had to remember how many zeros that took. So I put 1 and 000 for 1,000, 000 for 100,000, 000 for 1,000,000, 000 for 1,000,000,000, 000 for 1 trillion. That is a huge number. And I thought, well, what is this bailout going to cost me? What is this bailout going to cost you in terms of dollars? $1 million divided by the 350 million approximately people that we have in the United States would equal about $2,500 a person. Now, if you have a family of four, that's $10,000. That's a lot of money. I can use $10,000 for a lot of different things. That is a huge number. And we think, where are they going to get this money from? Well, the Treasury of the United States. Where are they going to get the money from? From the taxpayers and from all these bonds that they're circulating? And we realize that the Treasury of the United States, even though it's deeply in debt, can be a very large, vast amount of money. Billions upon billions, trillions upon trillions. But you know what? The treasury of God's grace is even more abundant and has a greater supply to all those who are His children who have need of His grace. It says in chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Whatever your need is this morning as a child of God, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can find grace to help in time of need. It's through that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that you can receive an answer to that ever-present question, what am I going to do? Because when it comes to the grace of God, first of all, and if you got your message guides, you're welcome to use it, you must recognize your absolute dependence upon the grace of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." It is by grace that we are saved. But grace doesn't stop there. It is by grace that we must continue to grow in salvation. It is by God's grace that He continues to supply our needs through salvation. And it is by God's grace and God's grace alone that we will ultimately end up in heaven with Him forever and ever. We must recognize, even as children of God, who have been saved by His grace, now we must live by His grace, and you and I are absolutely 100% dependent upon the grace of God. Now, there's always something or some people that we depend upon. I depended on my car this morning to get me here to church, as most of you did. I was a little disturbed and troubled last week when I got into the car and I turned it on and I was able to get it to start, but it didn't turn over. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Thankfully, we have another vehicle and we are able to get in our van and come here. But I was thinking, what am I going to do? Because my wife's got to work and we've got this to do and we've got to go to this place. And it's really inconvenient and troubling when a car breaks down. We are dependent on so many things. I was dependent on my coffee maker this morning, as again, most of you probably were. I had my two cups instead of my normal one cup this morning because I needed something to keep me going today. We have many things and many people that we depend upon. But most of the time, we forget about our need for God's grace. We depend on our car because it gets us to where we need to go. We depend on our coffee maker because it gets us to where we need to go. We depend on our family, our spouse, because she gets the food in me that I need to go. And we depend on everyone and everything else, but we forget, as Christians, that we must depend upon God and His grace. Because we need it to go on. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace." We need to find God's grace because we need it. We're desperate for it and we're dependent upon it. Why do we need God's grace? This is our first question that we'd like to consider about God's grace. There are many reasons why we need God's grace. You don't need to turn to these passages, but listen to what the Lord is saying through them. John 15:15, Jesus said this, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He's given a picture lesson, an object lesson of what it is like to be a child of God. He is the vine, we're the branches off the vine, and Jesus says, "He that abideth in me, and I in him, like a vine and a branch, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And then he adds this, "For without me, ye can do nothing." You, as a child of God, apart from Him and His strength and His empowerment, you and I can do absolutely nothing. Does that mean that we can't do anything in this world? No, it's not talking about a physical doing things, but it's talking about things with any lasting, spiritual, eternal value. And anything that is of eternal significance and use by God in His work, if we do these things apart from God and His grace, we can do nothing that is of value to Him. We can do nothing that is of use to Him because of our own weakness. And that is why we need God's grace. We are weak. He is strong. We are needy, and He provides us His grace. Nothing of value can ever be done in our Christian walk or life for God because we are weak unless God gives us His grace. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, which we looked at earlier this morning at the very beginning of our service, listen to what the Lord says to Paul. He said unto me, Paul says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Why? "For my strength is made perfect in weakness," the Lord says. In fact, the weaker you are, the stronger that I can show myself on behalf of you and for you. When we are weak, He is strong. And then Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Why do we need God's grace? Because we are weak. But yet, because we are weak, through His grace we can be made strong. And God's strength is His grace. The strength that you received this morning to get up is from God's grace. The strength that you received spiritually to read your word, the Word of God, is of God's grace. The strength that you have to witness to your family and your friends is of God's grace. And we need that grace because we are so weak. We also need God's grace because of our own will. Now, not only is our flesh weak, but so is our will. If you remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 19, he was in a quandary. He realized that because sin dwells his body, even though he's a child of God, even though he knows he's saved, he still had a lot of dilemmas. When faced with a temptation, listen to what he says. "For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do do." In other words, I'm in a quandary. And the things that I want to do for the Lord, oftentimes I can't and don't. And the things that I don't want to do in sin, very often I do. And this is a matter of the weak will that we have. Now, over the last several weeks, perhaps you've seen this television program called The Biggest Loser. Have you seen that? And they have this family or these individuals that are overweight, and their goal is to try to lose weight. Now, most of us do not have what they call willpower, okay? I don't have willpower, especially when it comes to Thanksgiving, and there is that wonderful pumpkin pie, and there's that tub of Cool Whip, and I take the pumpkin pie, and I take the Cool Whip, and I lather it on there so that there's more Cool Whip than there's pumpkin pie. I lack willpower when it comes to pumpkin pie and Cool Whip, okay? Our will is weak. Now, the Spirit is willing, very often so, but the flesh and the will that we have is so weak, and this is why we need God's grace, because it's weak. Those people that are trying to lose that weight, if they had the willpower, they could have done it. But they don't. So what do they need? They need these trainers to come in and yell at them. To encourage them. To put $1 million in front of them. We all could lose probably weight if we had those kind of incentives. The fact is, we have a weak, weak will. And very often, the good that we want to do, we end up not doing because our will is weak. And very often, the things that we don't want to do, we end up doing. And then we feel guilty because we are guilty, because our will is weak. And we, in the weakness of our own human will, need God's grace. Guess what? God, in His grace, provides support for our weak will. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where Paul again writes to this church. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you." This is Him writing to every Christian that is in existence today and even back then. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Do you have a weak will? Then you need to go to God for His grace, because His support of your will, His strengthening of your will to do what He wants you to do, is His grace. We must never forget that because of our weakness and because of our own frail will, I need God's grace. There's another reason why we need it. It's because of our own wickedness. We must remember that in our flesh there dwells no good thing. There is still an old man there. There is still that tendency and that propensity to sin. Again, Paul recognized this in Romans chapter 7, which is a powerful lesson to us of what it is like to have these problems in our life. Romans 7:24, Paul says, "O wretched man that I am!" After he's talking about doing things that he doesn't want to do and not doing things that he does want to do, then he realizes, "I'm just such a wretched, filthy, rotten sinner." And because of his wickedness and the greatness of his wickedness, he needed God's grace. In fact, Paul's question was this: "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Have you ever felt that way? Who's going to deliver me from myself? I've said it before, we're usually our own worst enemies. Sometimes I don't need to be tempted from without because I'm tempted from within. Yes, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes I wonder, sometimes I pray before God, "God, when are you going to come and glorify this body and this mind and everything else so that I don't have to worry about these things?" Oh, it is such a struggle because of the wickedness within me is still so great, and I need God's grace. Well, guess what? God provides His sanctifying power for our wickedness. Paul answers his own question by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And then he jumps over in verse 25 and says, "I thank God it's going to be through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's grace. That is the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, "For then, with the mind, I myself will serve the law of God. But sometimes with the flesh, I still will serve the law of sin." But God's sanctifying process over your wicked soul and your and my wicked life is still His grace. We need God's grace. More than we needed that car to get us here this morning, we needed God's grace. More than we needed that coffee this morning, we needed God's grace. More than you need to watch a football game, you need God's grace. More than we need anything else in this life, we need God's grace. Because all things that happen to us for life and godliness is from God's grace. In fact, until you see your need for God's grace, you are no position to receive God's grace. Now, there is a common grace that God provides to all men. All right? The sun arises on the just and the unjust. They still feel the same warmth as we do as believers. They still receive the rain on their crops as believers do. They still enjoy the prosperity of the nation in which we live as all believers do. There is this common grace, but there is also a very special grace that God provides for His people in a very special and unique way. But until you, as a child of God, who came by faith because of God's grace, now live your life and you say, well, I don't need God's grace anymore, then He's not going to abundantly bestow that grace upon you. Until you and I see our desperate, dependent need for God's grace, we are in no position ever to receive that special outpouring of God's grace that we all need. That's why we need God's grace. Because we're weak. Because we're wicked. Because of our own will. But when do we need it? Now, God's grace is sometimes difficult to define. Sometimes it's difficult to determine. But one thing that we do know throughout the Bible is that God's grace is real. It's a real thing. You can find that word throughout the Bible. God's grace is real, and it is something that we need all the time. Not just when you're sitting here listening to the Word of God. Not just when you open your Bibles to read it. Not just when you're on your knees in prayer. You and I must rely upon and depend upon God's grace 100% of our time. Every aspect, every part of our life. Why? Because so often we're tempted to wickedness. Are you? We're all tempted, aren't we? We all have pet sins or designer lusts, as Jim Berg called it in one of our video series that we looked at several years ago. Are you tempted to some form of wickedness? Of course we are. We need God's grace when we're tempted. Because listen to what the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, we all face temptation. They might be different than the person sitting next to you. But we've all faced similar temptations, and we all face it in the same manner. But, he adds, God is faithful, who will not suffer you. He will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able. But He will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That is grace. When you are tempted to sin, God providing a way to escape when you most need it, that is grace. A few months ago, our family went to Tennessee on vacation. And my son wanted to go see this one building that kind of looked like a castle. And so we went into this to see what it was about. And there were three activities that, of course, you could pay for to get involved in. And one of them was a maze of mirrors. The other one was, I think, laser tag of some sort. And I thought, well, we'll just go through each one. So we started off in the maze of mirrors. And my son was really excited about this. And we get into this maze of mirrors, and of course you know that you get lost because you can bump into the mirror. And they gave us these little bags over the hands so that we wouldn't mess up the mirrors. And so as we're going through here, we've only gone about 20 steps. And my son looks at me and says, Dad, I don't like this. I want out now. And it wasn't really encouraging to me because the lady said, this is the largest maze in the world. And I thought, oh, great. And so I said, Braden, I don't know if I can find my way back. We're just going to have to keep moving forward. The lady also said that if we're in there too long, they'll send someone in after us. That was a comfort too. But at first the light was very bright. You could see everything that you were doing, every place that you were going. But all of a sudden we went into this room and it was dark, but it had flashing lights, flashing black lights. I've got to tell you, my heart skipped a beat because I thought, how are we ever going to get through this? Of course, my dear son, who's holding my hand, clenching my hand, is in tears. He said, Daddy, what are we going to do? I said, Braden, we just got to keep moving forward. I said, Braden, why don't you pray? Why don't you pray? And as soon as he prayed, you know what? We turned the corner and there was an emergency exit right there. Do you know what? Oh, that was just an accident. It was just pure happenstance. That was a coincidence. No, that was the grace of God. And that was a demonstration of God's grace to my little son, as well as to me. And when we face temptation, that is when we need God's grace. And He says, ask for it, and I'll give it to you in abundant supply. That's grace. Are you in need of wisdom? Oh yeah, we're all in need of wisdom. Then we need God's grace. This is the time we need God's grace, when we have a decision to make. In our families, in our own life, in our church, in our work environment, what must we do? James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, he addresses it, doesn't he? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and then he gives to all men liberally. He doesn't upbraid you, and it will be given you. That's grace. When you need wisdom, God provides grace if you come to Him and ask for it. Are you attempting to witness to someone's salvation? This is another time, another experience that we have when we need God's grace. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If someone asks you a question about your faith and you don't know what it is, what do you do? Say, God, give me the right answer here for these people, because it is the Lord God in your hearts who will give you that answer. That is grace. We could go on and on and on as to when you and I need grace. Are you afraid? What time I am afraid, I will trust in you, because God is the one who gives us grace in our most fearful times. Are you facing trials? A lot of you have been gone because of sickness and illness and even injury. Those are the times that you need God's grace. You need God's grace to motivate you when you pray. You need God's grace to teach you from His Word. You even needed God's grace to give you the desire to even get up this morning and come to church. Behind it all is God's grace. Because it is He that works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's that backdrop. It's the thing that we don't see very often. It's the thing that we don't even think about very often. But when we recognize it and we see it for God's grace, we will praise Him for His grace and then share about His grace with others, because God's grace is an abundant supply. We could go on and on and on. But the fact is, you need God's grace all the time. That's why we need to be absolutely dependent on it. Because it is God's grace that enables us to be and to do all that He desires. It's God's grace that does that. The question I want us to think about is, do we recognize our absolute dependence on God's grace? It's God's, by God's grace that you woke up this morning. It's by God's grace that you were fed this morning. It's by God's grace that we are here this morning. It's by God's grace that these windows were placed in this week. It's all of God's grace. Do we realize that we need it? We depend upon it every single moment of every single day. Until you realize the need for God's grace, you are in no position to receive God's grace. But when you do, secondly, you must remember the display of God's grace. How do you know that God will provide you the grace that you need when you need it? How do you know that? Well, we see, first of all, in Genesis 6:8, you don't need to turn there, but God displays His grace in the past. We start in Genesis 6, but you could look all through the Bible. But remember when the world was steeped in wickedness? And He was going to destroy the world with a flood? Genesis 6:8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And then what did God do to Noah and his family? He spared them. He saved them. He had this ark built, and He shut the door when Noah and his family were in there and spared their lives so that we could be here today. That was God's grace. That's how we can know that God will provide His grace when we need it, because He's done so in the past. God also displays His grace through His promises. James 4:6 says, God giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but as we looked at last Sunday morning, but He giveth grace unto the humble. That's a promise. That is a promise of God's grace. And God, we know, always keeps His promises. We must remember that God does display His grace. How do we see that in these verses? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. What is that talking about? It's talking about how we receive God's grace as children of God. God displays His grace to you through humble prayer. Through humble prayer. This is how we find the grace that we need to help in time of need. The word find here gives us an idea of discovering something after a period of looking for it and searching for it. Have you ever misplaced your Bible? Oh yeah. We've all misplaced our Bibles, and unfortunately, we have all these Bibles in our homes, yet there's that one that we want to take with us to church. There's that one that we have all the special notes in. There's that one that we want to use. And we've misplaced it many, many times, haven't we? And you've searched for it, and you've searched for it, and you've searched for it. And finally, praise the Lord, you found it, and you realize it was exactly where you left it, right? And you're excited because you found that thing that you treasure so much, and it is God's grace that directed you there. It's God's grace that does that. We must remember that you will never find God's grace if you don't want God's grace. The first step is realizing that we need God's grace 100% of the time. The next thing is knowing that we want God's grace. If we're proud in our own desire, in our own life, and say, well, I can do things. I can do all things through Steve, who strengthens me. I can do all things by myself in order to accomplish God's work and God's will and God's way. You know what's going to happen? We're not going to receive His grace in the time that we need it to accomplish His will. But, He says, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me according to His good grace. You will never find God's grace unless you want God's grace, and you will never find it unless you search it. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 4:29. The Lord said to the children of Israel, but if from thence you shall seek the Lord your God, if you seek after Him, you will find Him. If you seek Him with all your heart, with all your soul, that is grace. Again, Proverbs 8:17, the Lord says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early will find me. That's grace. In the Gospels, Matthew 7:7 and Luke 11:9 say the same thing, where Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That is grace. If you want grace, you can find grace from the source of grace, God Himself. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace through humble prayer to seek it, and then we will find it. As it says in verse 16, you will find grace to help in time of need. Now the thing about seeking after God's grace is that God's grace is not something hidden. It's not something that is unavailable. Earlier this week, I was playing hide-and-seek with my kids. And I hid in a place, and I knew that my son knew where I was at. My daughter was counting, you know, hiding her face and everything. And it was my son and I, who he's a terrible partner to play with, because he always wants to hide with you, or he wants to tell the other person where you're hiding. And so, I hid somewhere, and he knew exactly where I was at. Kind of defeats the purpose of hide-and-go-seek. But as they were looking somewhere, I ended up leaving that spot and finding another place. And after my daughter was getting frustrated, she couldn't find Daddy, he goes, I'll show you where he was at. And they go to the pillows that I was hiding under. Where'd he go? I was gone. And it took him about 15-20 minutes before I finally popped out and showed him where I was. The fact is, that's not the way God's grace is. It's not a hide-and-seek game where you have to look for it because it's hidden. God's grace is openly available. Listen to what it says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If you don't get God's grace, it's your own fault because you're not seeking after it. Because if you seek after it, it says you're going to find it. And you're going to find the grace that you need to help you through the struggles and the trials of your life. If you need God's grace, you need to go to humble prayer. But then He also displays His grace, as we see in verses 14 and 15 of Hebrews 4. He displays His grace through our high priest. Look at verse 14 and 15. Again, referring to Christ, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, who is Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Our great high priest is the one through whom we get the grace that we need. He's the only one who can provide it. How does He do it? Through His relationships. He has three relationships that is described for us in His verses. He has a relationship with His own Father, and as the Son of God, He can go to the Father and ask Him for anything, and He'll do it. And so we're asking our Father through the Son for the grace that we need. And He'll offer it to us so freely. God displays His grace through our high priest because of His relationship with His people as well. He is our high priest, our go-between. We don't need a priest. And unfortunately, there are many religions like the Roman Catholics who believe you have to have another priest, a human priest. But the Bible teaches that we have one great high priest, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that we need to go to and through to reach God in heaven, because He's already there to begin with. And He, as our high priest, is our go-between. He is the bridge between the gaps between us and God. You've heard about the bridge to nowhere in Alaska that they were trying to build. Jesus Christ is not that kind of bridge. He is the bridge to somewhere and to someone. And as our great high priest, we can go to Him and we can ask Him for His grace. And you know what? He's going to provide it to you and to me. But it's also His relationship with our problems through which He provides grace. We learn in verse 15 that He has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He has been. He's been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And because of His relationship with our own problems, and He has suffered in greater ways than we could ever imagine, that He is able to sympathize with us in our own temptation, in our own trials, in our own problems. If you need God's grace, you need to go to Him in humble prayer and through our high priest, because that's how God displays His grace to those who pray. And third, after we see the display of God's grace to us, what do we need to do with that grace? We must depend upon it. We must seek after it through prayer, and then we must rely upon God's delivery of His grace. Like most of you, I subscribe to the Greenfield Daily Reporter. And I expect it every day to be somewhere in the vicinity of my house. All right? The other day, we couldn't find it at all. My wife said, I looked out, it was there, and then later on it was gone, so somebody took it. Sometimes it's on the driveway, sometimes it's in the front yard, sometimes it's in the side yard, sometimes it's in the street. It's never been on my front porch, which is really a nice place to put a paper. But I subscribe to that. I'm sorry that we're not going to get a Friday paper anymore after January. But if I don't get it the way I expect to, what can I do? If I don't get that paper delivered to me, I can go to Casey's down the road and pick one up. Or I can go to Walmart and pick up a paper because it's been delivered that there as well. Or our mail, if it doesn't come one day, we can expect it the next day. Or if we've been on vacation, we can go down to the post office and get it ourselves. That is not the way God delivers His grace. He does not say, ask me for grace, and then if you don't get it, to go try something else. He says you must believe and by faith reach out and accept God's grace through His means of grace. That is how God delivers His grace. He delivers it through what we call His means of grace. Now, we've already mentioned one, and that's prayer. If you want God's grace, you must reach out by faith in prayer and ask Him for it, and He'll give it to you. There's other means of grace as well. And if you do not apply these means of grace in your life, you will not enjoy the full, free deliverance of God's grace in your life. We need to avail ourselves of the means of grace, the way God delivers His grace to His people. Otherwise, we won't have it. Prayer is one means of grace. Some other means are the words of Christ. In fact, according to Acts 20:32, it actually describes the Bible as the word of His grace. Why aren't we receiving God's grace? Because we're not receiving or reading His word. This is why the Take 20 and just reading through the Bible and studying the Bible and meditating the Bible is so important, because without it, we will not receive the grace that God has for us in its fullest extent. It's through His word as the means of grace that He applies His grace in our life. Another means of grace is the Lord's Supper. When we have the Lord's Supper, and you don't participate in the Lord's Supper, or you ignore the Lord's Supper, or not, it's not something special to you, and you don't reach out in faith, because God is saying, come to me through this Lord's Supper and appreciate what I've done for you and enjoy the grace that I have for you. When we don't do that and apply that to our lives, then we won't receive the special grace that He so desires to give us. He's also given us the Spirit of Christ. Hebrews 10:29 says He's the Spirit of grace. Other means of grace is the worship of Christ through His church. When you're not here, you lose an opportunity to receive the grace that comes so freely at God's hands. And you can't go anywhere else for His grace except through what He's provided to us. Now, we often don't receive God's grace because we don't rely upon His own delivery method of His grace. Another means of grace is that of giving to Christ through our giving and our offering. These are not things that merit God's grace, but these are things that by faith we're accepting what He's promised to us. Listen to what it says in Malachi 3:10, referring to giving. He says, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, so that there will be meat in my house to provide for the needs of the church. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." That is God's grace. God has an abundant supply in the treasuries of heaven that are just waiting and available to those who come to Him through the means of grace and ask Him for it. Are you availing yourself of the opportunity that God has? You are today. And if you don't leave blessed from God's Word, perhaps it's because you haven't spent time with God through the other means of grace of prayer. God, open my eyes that I can see wonderful things out of Your law. That's how God delivers His grace. But when does He do it? Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help." When? In time of need. We see this over and over and over again in Scripture. When someone needs God's grace, He's there with His grace. Most recently in our study of Nehemiah, in chapter 2, verse 14, if you remember last Sunday night, He appeared before the king. And the king said unto Nehemiah, "What do you make request?" And there's Nehemiah's arrow prayer. Very brief, as quick as a thought to heaven. He says, "So I pray to the God of heaven." And you know what Nehemiah found? God's grace. Because he applied one of the means of grace through prayer to receive it. And he got God's grace just in the nick of time. Just when he needed it. Now what does that do? If you realize that God will provide the grace that you need at the moment that you need it, it ought to keep us in the presence of God. Shouldn't it? So that we always have this open line of communication, so when I need it, I can have it by asking God for it. Raymond Brown once wrote this about keeping ourselves in the presence of God for His grace. Specific resources are given to meet immediate needs. We are not promised a reservoir of blessing given in advance of all life's difficulties. Sufficient grace will match present need. So, we need to go to the Lord when we need grace. And then we need to stay with the Lord as He provides His grace. Why does God deliver His grace? This is the final question that we answer in Hebrews 4:16, which says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help." That is why God delivers grace, to help us. There can be no greater help. If I need help in something on my computer, I'll call a computer technician. If I need some help with something around the house, I'll probably call Andy. If I need some help in some other area, I will find someone who's an expert at it. But when I really need help, especially in the areas of life that are meaningful for Christ and the areas of life that I'm tempted with, I need to go to the one who created me, and God will provide help to me. Now this word help is very interesting because it's used in another passage in Acts chapter 27, verse 17. If you remember, Paul is on a ship, and they use the same term about a ship that was starting to break up. He says this, "Which when they had taken up, they used helps to undergird the ship." They probably used cables and boards to help undergird the ship. And that's exactly what grace does. It helps. Just like Paul was doing there, they used these helps, these cables, these boards to undergird the ship, to support it and to strengthen it so it could weather the storm. That's exactly what God's grace is for, to help you. And if you don't seek Him for the help that you need, you're not going to find it anywhere else. It's good to have family and friends to help you through those storms of life. But personally, you must seek the grace of God for that help. What does God's grace do? It helps bind you. and enable you to survive the force of waves and tempest in this life. God's grace will strengthen you when you're weak. God's strength will support you when your will is weak. God's strength will ultimately sustain you through the storms of life to the end of time, and you spend eternity with Him. Because we need God's grace. We need it all the time, 100% of the time, and God has made it. His full and free grace available through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we need to recognize our absolute dependence upon His grace. Do you? Do you realize that you needed God's grace to get up this morning? You'll need God's grace to go home this afternoon. You need it. And if you need it, you need to recognize that God has it. He'll display it to you as He's done in time past, ages after ages, all the way to the beginning of His creation. He's displayed His grace, and then we must rely on it. We must never try something else apart from God's grace. Because God's grace is all sufficient. James 4:2 says this, "You have not because you ask not." You don't have God's grace for things in life because you don't ask for it. And then we find a text again. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."